Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that is said on the program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. We read in the Bible that there are a number of things by which we are saved. But what we want to do in our study this morning is to see and to point out those things that the Scriptures truly say that we are saved by, but yet notice some other things that the Bible says about these very things by which we are saved. In Romans 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So truly, there's no doubt about it that we are saved by faith. Romans 5 and verse 1 is but one of many passages that teaches the importance of faith in our salvation. But at the same time that we see that faith is essential to salvation, we read also that there will be those that will depart from the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read in verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So it is then that being justified by faith, we can also depart from the faith. And this is what the Bible clearly teaches. Faith is essential to our being saved. But at the same time, it is possible in the course of our lives that there may be things, whether it is that, as the verse says, we're given heed to seducing spirits, or we give in to the doctrines of devils, the teachings and the commandments and doctrines of men. All of these things are the things that will lead us to cause us to depart from the faith. In knowing that we are saved by faith, we also understand that there is but one faith, as Ephesians chapter 4 teaches. So the faith that we need to have is the faith that comes through the hearing of God's word. That's what we see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So there's one faith because that's the only kind of faith that God's word produces. All of the other faiths by which we will not and cannot be saved are the faiths that people have as a result of being deceived, of being seduced, of being led into believing to be the truth, when the fact of the matter is they are not the truth. Only the truth can set us free. Only faith that comes through the hearing of God's word is the faith that we read about in the Scriptures, the faith that by which we are justified. So yes, we are saved by faith, but we can also depart from the faith. We also see in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." So here we see that the Bible teaches that we are saved by grace. Grace, we know, is undeserved, unmerited favor. In other words, if it were not for the grace of God, then we would still, as the passage says, be dead in sin. It is only by the grace that God has shown unto us all that we are able to be saved from our sins. But at the same time that the Bible teaches that by grace we are saved, that same Bible also teaches us in Hebrews 12, and verse 15, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and hereby many be defiled. So yes, we are saved by grace, and yet we may fail of the grace of God. God's grace cannot go beyond the fact that if we continue to choose to believe that which is not in accordance to His Word, if we choose to continue to practice things in our lives that is contrary to His Word, God's grace will save us, but it is only through now our obedience to His Word, as we continue in our lives to be faithful unto Him, that we will be saved by grace. So God's grace is not going to cover sin that, like the Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews 10, that we willfully sin. There remains no more sacrifice for sin that we commit willfully, knowing what we need to do, knowing what we ought to do, and yet we do contrary to that. And so it is then. We are saved by the grace of God, and for that we need to be thankful, and we need to not take for granted what a great gift that God has given unto us that we did not deserve to be able to have the forgiveness of sins, but yet to realize that God's grace is not going to continue to save us in a condition of sin that we persist to live in. So we're saved by grace, but we need to be careful, lest any man fail of the grace of God. But also, in Romans chapter 8, we read in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it?" So again, a very clear, simple passage which teaches us that hope has a part in our salvation. We are saved by hope. So hope is something that we're in expectation of. That's what the verse goes ahead to explain. Hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? So we have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of a home in heaven. But have we seen it? No. Do we have it? No. It's yet in expectation. We are in hope of it. If we already were in heaven, then we would no longer hope for heaven. Hope is something that we are in expecting to receive. So that helps to motivate. That helps us to continue each and every day of our lives, to be motivated, to live, to do what's right. That's why we don't need to lose sight and take for granted the hope that we have in Christ. So truly, we are saved by hope. But when we read in Colossians 1, it says in verse 23, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So we see that while hope saves us, we are saved by hope, we can also see that it's possible for us to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. So our hope is explained to us in the gospel, the good news. That's what the gospel is. It's the gospel that tells us of being able to have our sins forgiven by the sacrifice of the blood of Christ. It's the New Testament, the gospel, that tells us of eternal life. It tells us of heaven. And so the gospel truly is that good news. But we need to understand that we must not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. And how that's possible is that if we no longer continue to be grounded and settled in the faith. That's what verse 23 of Colossians 1 said. If we continue. See that word, if? It's a very, very small word. It's only got two letters in it. But friends, that word if is probably the biggest word in the English language. because what the word if does is it sets forth conditions necessary to be met. So we will not be moved away from the hope of the gospel if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled. So truly, we can be moved away from the hope of the gospel when we no longer are grounded in the faith, when we're no longer settled in the faith. We can be moved away from the hope of the gospel. And that's what the devil seeks to do to each and every one of us. He seeks to plant that seed of doubt. He seeks to cause us to call into question the things that need to be grounded and settled in our minds. That's what Satan did to Eve. He planted that seed of doubt when he said that you shall not surely die. There was the seed, and that took root in Eve. And so she was no longer grounded and settled in the fact of what God said. Now the devil has introduced doubt. She's no longer grounded and settled. And what happened? She was moved away from her steadfastness unto God. So yes, we are saved by hope. But let us understand that unless we remain grounded and settled, we can be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Also, we read in Hebrews 9 and verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." So we see here that we are saved by the blood of Christ. We are saved through and by his blood. If it were not for the blood of Christ, we could not be saved. When Jesus came into this world and lived for the 30-some-odd years that he lived, he committed no sin. There was no sin. There was no guile found in him. And it was because of that that he became that proverbial lamb without spot and without blemish, the only kind of lamb that God, under the Old Testament law, would allow to be sacrificed for the atonement of sin. Here is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God, perfect in his obedience unto God. He kept the law of Moses perfectly that no man, no one else did. And in so doing, became that lamb without spot and without blemish. And when he went to the cross and his body was broken and his blood was shed, it was the blood that God was able to use to atone, to forgive, to give remission of your sins and my sins. We are saved by the blood of Christ. And yet, in Hebrews 10, it's in verse 29 that we read, "Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace." See, though we're saved by the blood of Christ, we can also count that blood unholy. We can so live our lives that we trodden underfoot the Son of Man, the Son of God. We count that blood of the covenant an unholy thing, but yet it's that which sanctified us, but still we can count it as an unholy thing. So friends, we need to be careful and to realize that yes, it is the blood of Christ by which we are saved, but we can so act in our lives, in this life, that we can count that blood an unholy thing. It's in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1 that we read, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." We see here that the Lord is our Savior. So it is then that we're saved, as we talked about a moment ago when we talked about grace, when we talked about the blood. We see that it was the grace of God, it was the blood of our Lord. And now we see in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1 that truly he is unquestionably our Savior. So we are saved through Christ. We are saved for the fact if we allow him to be our Lord. And that word Lord just simply means ruler. When we make that confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're making a confession of the fact that we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that which no other man, prophet, or anyone upon this earth ever was, and that's the thing that separates Christ from all of these other Eastern religions and religions that have come into focus here in our country in the last 10 or 15 years. Jesus is the Son of God, and because of that, he is to be our Lord. He is to be our ruler. But we read in 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 these words, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." That Lord who is our Savior is also that Lord that we can deny. When we deny to let him be the ruler, and we say, no, we're not going to do your will, we're going to do our will, then we are denying him. We're denying him the rightful place that he deserves in our lives. So yes, we're saved by the Lord. He is our Savior, but we can deny him. It's in John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we are saved by the truth. It's the truth that makes us free. And what we're being free from is what Jesus came into this world to do, and that is to seek and to save that which is lost. We're lost because we have sinned. We have separated ourselves from God. So it's the truth that can set us free. Sin puts us into bondage. We become a slave to sin, as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 6. When we yield our members of our body to do things that are contrary to God's will, that's what sin is. Sin is those things that are contrary to the will of God. So when we yield ourselves to sin, we are making ourselves slaves to sin. And so it is the truth of God's word. God's word is truth, John 17, 17. And so it's truth that will set us free from sin. But then at the same time that the Bible tells us that truth is what saves us, it also says in James 5, verse 19, these words, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth." So we can err from the truth. Anything that is not truth is error. Anything that is not found in the pages of God's word, because God's word is truth, is error. So while truth saves us, we see that we can err from the truth. Also, the Bible says in John 3:16, a passage that many of us can memorize and quote by heart, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So we are saved by love. Just like we talked a moment ago, we're saved by the grace of God. With the grace and the love of God, we are saved. God so loved the world. And how thankful we need to be for that. But as we see that we are saved by God's love, what we're told in Jude, the 21st verse, there are no chapters in the book of Jude. Jude said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So yes, we're saved by the love of God, but we may not keep ourselves into love. You know, if it's impossible to be out of the love or to fall outside of the realm of God's love, why is Jude record to us that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God? So, while love saves us, we have a responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. Also, in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So it is the gospel by which we're saved. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So we're saved by the gospel. But in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So yes, we're saved by the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. But we may believe the gospel in vain. Because Paul says, yes, it was the gospel that he declared. It was the gospel that he preached unto the Corinthians. They had received it. They are taking their stand in the gospel. And he says, it was by that gospel that they were saved. But then he says, and here comes that one little two-letter word again, "if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you." If we fail to keep in memory the things that are taught to us from the gospel, then look what he says, "you have believed in vain." So the gospel is the power of God to save us. But we must believe the gospel, continue in believing the gospel. If not, we believe in vain. In Acts 2 and verse 38, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So we see that we are saved by these promises. The promise that we will repent and be baptized, we will receive the forgiveness, the remission of sins, and that the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, will be given unto all of us that repent and are baptized. So that's a promise that we have given here in Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. But it's in Hebrews 4, in verse 1, that we read, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Yes, we have been given a promise, and by that promise we can be saved. But we can come short of that promise. We need, through the things that have taught to us in the gospel, to realize that this promise has been left unto us, but we need not to come short of it. We're saved by God. In Jude, verse 25, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." We're saved by God. But Hebrews 3 and verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." We're saved by God. But friends, you and I need to take heed. Because if we have within us unbelief, we depart from the living God. We're saved by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we're saved by the work that the Holy Spirit has done through the revealing of the Word of God. But it's in Hebrews 10 and verse 29, it says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Yes, we're saved by the Spirit, the washing, the regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, but yet we can turn right around in our lives and do despite unto the Spirit of grace. And then finally, we are saved by enduring. In Matthew 10 and verse 22, and you shall be hated of all men, Jesus says, for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. It's going to take enduring to the end for us to be saved. So we're saved by our endurance to the end. In Matthew 13:21, though, it says, yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. One of the very familiar parables that Jesus spoke of, the parable of the sower. One of those was the fact that they fell upon stony ground. And in explaining that parable, Jesus said, the reason that the seed upon the stony ground did not come to anything is he had no root in himself. He endured for a while. But here comes tribulation. Here comes persecution because of trying to live the right, the life of a Christian. And by, he is offended. What happens? He doesn't endure. Persecution, tribulation causes him to give up. Friends, we have to endure to the end to be saved. Yes, friends, we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace. We're saved by hope. We're saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved by the Lord. We're saved by truth. We're saved by the love of God. We're saved by the gospel. We're saved by the promise that has been given us. We're saved by God. We're saved by the Holy Spirit. And we're saved by enduring. But see, we have a part to play in all of these. In the fact that we can depart from the faith, we can fail of our grace, we can be moved away from the hope, we can count the blood of Christ unholy, we can deny the Lord, we can err from the truth, we can fail to keep ourselves in the love of God, we can believe the gospel in vain, we can come short of that promise, we can depart from the living God, and we can do despite to the Spirit of grace and not endure unto the end. Friends, we see our time is gone. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcers.